If you've been around here for very long, you know that Justin loves his food analogies. That's all I'm gonna say. But we do eat a lot here, which is sometimes we reflect on that and think, wow, that's kind of bizarre. It's like half of the time we're together, we're eating. And I suppose it is a necessity. But Justin talked about the pie in his refrigerator, and he said there was only one piece left, and that was the remnant. Now, what if I came in and I just ate a little bit of that? What happened there to that part? It's gone now. And then this is the remnant. Now, this portion of our seminar, this session, is called the Messiah's Nation, and it's regarding the remnant's relation to Christ. All of what Justin defined as the remnant is exactly the same when Jesus comes on the scene, except for one thing. The remnant had to understand who Jesus was. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Peter gives an answer about who people say that Jesus is and who he says Jesus is, right? And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When Christ came, he came to gather his remnant from the nation of Israel. If you look at the portion that's commonly referred to of your Bible as the New Testament, you'll find descriptors of that remnant, such as my church, my sheep, the little flock, the fruitful branches or the fruitful nation, the born-again nation, the elect, the chosen, the holy nation, the royal priesthood, etc. These are all different ways to speak about the remnant. Jesus only came to one nation when he came and had an earthly ministry, and that nation was Israel. Did you know that Jesus talked to dogs? That was pretty bizarre, but yes. In Matthew 15, you'll find that there is a Canaanite woman whose daughter was sick, and Jesus says, "I only came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And that's the point that I'm trying to pull out from that section of scripture there. Jesus came to the nation of Israel. So when we talk about the remnant, it's the remnant of the nation, Israel. And that nation that Jesus came to had to understand who he was. And if they didn't understand who he was, then they're like this piece of pie that got eaten off. They're not part of that remnant. In John chapter 1, starting verse 10, and going through verse 13, we realize here that Jesus came into the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and they received him not. He came to the Israelites, and earlier it was mentioned that Paul talks about the remnant. And so Romans chapter 9, verse 6 was taught, and the two verses right before that were read in Romans chapter 9, verse 5, 4 and 5. It's to the Israelites that pertained the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the law, the promises, and the service of God. My point here is that it's the remnant of Israel, and then when Jesus comes, it's the faithful that understand who the Messiah is. It's the Messiah's nation. And that's just showing you my hand. The book written to those Hebrews, aptly named Hebrews, says that in the last days, the Son of God came and spoke to them. They're the people to whom the covenants were given. And likewise, when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he sent his disciples as he was sent to the nation of Israel only. In Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 5 through 7, Jesus tells them as he sends them out to preach this gospel of the kingdom, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And Jesus says in John 20, after he's resurrected and he's sending them out to continue to preach the gospel, that he's sending them as God sent him. And that is to the nation of Israel, to pull out this remnant, this nation that should come from them. In Galatians chapter 2, which I'm sure will probably be read more than once here or that you're very familiar with, Paul talks about Peter, and he says, Peter's apostleship and ministry was to the circumcision. Peter agrees with Paul that, yes, you are to go to the Gentiles. My ministry is to the circumcision. And Jesus, when he came, Paul describes, was a minister to that circumcision to confirm the promises to the fathers. In Romans chapter 15, verse 8, take a quick look there. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father. Justin spoke about those prophecies and promises given to the nation of Israel. But they didn't see the fulfillment. When Jesus came, he came to confirm those promises. They are still to you. But there was something that changed a little bit. Jesus is the one to whom the remnant of Israel will get the promises and the fulfillment of their prophecies. He's the one from whom they will get those promises. He is the Redeemer. He is their Savior. And he has been promised to the nation of Israel. In Luke chapter 1, take a look at Luke chapter 1. We have Zacharias. And filled with the Holy Ghost, he says some things about who Jesus is. Starting in verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Jesus preached that the kingdom was at hand. The promise that was given to Israel, and specifically to faithful Israel, the remnant, was that they would live in an eternal kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And Jesus comes and says, this kingdom, this promise is at hand. It's coming. And that you can find in at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in Matthew chapter 4. Starting in verse 17. John the Baptist, or his cousin, had already been preaching that the kingdom was at hand. But John was put in prison. And it says at that time, Jesus began preaching the kingdom was at hand. But what was different? Because basically everything I've told you until now, except for the parts about understanding who the Messiah was, has already been prophesied. The difference was that Jesus, when he came, was the Messiah. And he came and divided that nation between who believed him and had faith and who did not. Jesus himself testifies in Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, that whoever doesn't follow him is not worthy of him. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, he says, I have not come to bring peace on earth, but division. But why? What division? What are we talking about? You see, we're talking about the remnant this weekend. And in order for there to be something that remains, there has to be something that's divided off or taken away. And so take a look at John chapter 7. I think this is a good example of why there was division. Starting in verse 40, let's take a look. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, what he had just said, and that's about those that believe on him would receive the Holy Ghost. By the way, we're going to get into that in just a minute. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, because of Christ. Who believes, who has faith that he is who he claimed, the Messiah, their deliverer, the one who would bring the promises to them? The remnant had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They had to abide in him. They had to be fruitful. Jesus is the Messiah of whom prophecy speaks, and it required that the remnant, if they were going to remain, would believe that. Jesus himself testifies that the scriptures testify of him. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, search the scriptures, they are which testify of me. And his church is built upon this fact. In Matthew chapter 16, if you go back to what we talked about here at the very beginning, Jesus asks his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elias. And then he asked Peter, who he calls a rock, whose name kind of means a rock. And he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Son of God, the Christ. And then everybody gets confused because Jesus says, upon this rock will I build my church. And they think it's Peter. Hey, you got that wrong. The rock that Christ is building his church, the remnant, on is him being the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. That's the rock. And so the remnant is going to and must, if they're going to remain, believe that Christ is Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. The kingdom is the nation, the remnant that inherits the kingdom, that gets the fulfilled promise, is a nation, and it is a fruitful nation. In fact, if there's Israel at the time Jesus is walking around and preaching, and they're there hearing him or hearing his disciples, and they don't believe who he is, then what he does is he takes their promises and says, you don't get it. I'm giving it to a fruitful nation. Let's read that. Take a look at Matthew chapter 21. Yes, Matthew chapter 21. Starting here in verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken to pieces, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Jesus is the rock. The understanding of who Jesus said he was, him being the Messiah. This nation that's going to be fruitful, to whom he's going to give the kingdom, is the remnant, and they must believe Jesus is the Messiah. Only those who confess and follow the Messiah will enter into the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, Jesus says that if they don't confess me before men and they deny me, then I will not confess them before my Father, and I will deny them. In John chapter 10, let's take a look at this, starting in verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Earlier we were saying, what are other names for this remnant? My sheep, my church, the fruitful nation. The sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. They get eternal life. They get to enter into the kingdom. They are the only ones that remain from the other parts of Israel that were Israel by the flesh. Because the remnant required faith, faith in the Messiah. And that faith in the Messiah was that he was the one to deliver them, the Savior, the one to give them the promised kingdom and the promises that were given to the Father. Those promises included the Holy Ghost. The prophecies and the promises that are given to Israel are fulfilled in the remnant, the Messiah's nation. Jesus says that the way is narrow and few find it. The few are the remaining ones, the remnant. And that's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. That way is the way that leadeth to the life that he will give them. It's the little flock, that's another word for remnant here, that receives the kingdom. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it's my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." This little flock, this few, this chosen people, this believing part of Israel who know the Messiah, the sheep that hear his voice and follow him, this is the remnant that we're talking about this weekend. And they're the ones that are going to enter into the kingdom. And one thing that was mentioned earlier, somebody asked about it after the previous session, was, isn't that going to clarify this understanding of born again? Absolutely. Because another word for the remnant is the born-again nation. Take a look at John chapter 3. Let's start in verse 3. They come to him, they say, "Rabbi, teacher," and they ask him questions. And Jesus answers them, and he says to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," and that's Nicodemus, by the way. That's the person that we were talking about. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He's a teacher. "Verily, verily, Nicodemus, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And like probably any one of us would say, what do you mean, born again? How can you go back into your mother's womb? That doesn't work. And Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So when Jesus talks about born again, he's talking about being born of the Spirit. Jesus, the Messiah, gives the Holy Ghost to the remnant, the born-again nation, the leftover, the remaining nation. Those that don't believe don't get the Spirit. Those that don't follow, don't hear the shepherd's voice, don't get the Spirit. The Spirit that Christ sent was prophesied. Take a look at Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching here to the nation of Israel, Jews from other nations that have come to Jerusalem, and they're looking at him and they're seeing, either hearing the things that are being said in their own languages, and they're thinking, these guys, they're crazy, they're drunk. And what does Peter say about it? Starting in verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then here he quotes Joel. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. The promises and the prophecies to the nation of Israel are still being taught, and they're being confirmed, but they're being confirmed to the remnant, the ones that believe the Messiah, the ones that will actually get deliverance from that Messiah. In fact, they have an unction in 1 John chapter 2. This Spirit is given to them that they have an unction so that they would know all things. Those that believe that Jesus, the Messiah, is precious are the chosen ones. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 5, Peter's addressing the remnant, and he says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. All of those terms are talking about the remnant, the holy nation, the royal priesthood, the chosen people. And Peter in 2 Peter continues on and says that, and this is the big cliffhanger here, because promises were given to the nation of Israel. Jesus confirmed the promises. They got the Holy Spirit. And so let's go into the nation, right? And yet in 2 Peter, take a look at chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what things? The things that are right above there in verses 5 through 8. That is, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And those are the things that he's saying that you should do to make your election sure. Those who do will never fall and enter into the kingdom, but only if they do. Now, here's the cliffhanger. The remnant is the nation that Jesus comes and identifies, that gets the Holy Spirit because they have faith in the Messiah. And by necessity, they must believe who the Messiah is, and they must follow their deliverer, all pretty much normal up to now, except they have to follow until they are delivered. There's your cliffhanger, and I'm going to leave it at that. So, are there any questions?